your attention to the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4. Second Corinthians, chapter 4. And it's a pleasure to be back with you again. Very much appreciate the fellowship that I have enjoyed here over the years, and your love of the gospel of God's grace. Our subject is the preeminence of Christ in all preaching. And our text is verse 5. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Tonight, God willing, we're going to look at three things. First, the persons here distinguished. Second, the activity here required. And third, the theme here preeminent. First, these persons here distinguished. Paul says, we. We. And in the context, they are distinguished in this manner. First of all, in verse 1, Paul says, we are we who have received this ministry. And he refers to the previous chapter in chapter 3. In chapter 3, verse 6, he identifies these ministers as ministers of the new covenant. The old covenant was a legal covenant and a ministry of condemnation and death, Paul writes. This new covenant is one of grace. It has replaced and abrogated the old covenant. And this new covenant is a ministry of righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And whereas the old covenant slew, this new covenant gives life through the Holy Spirit and it liberates the captive. And while some today make the law and legalism preeminent in their preaching, ministers of the new covenant make Christ and His grace preeminent. We who have this ministry. Second, these persons are distinguished as we who have received mercy in verse number 1. Paul does not identify himself with those who boast of salvation by their own meritorious works or who boast of what they have done for the Lord. Rather, he gives the Lord preeminence and he says, thankfully, we received mercy. And he glories in this sovereign God who has rescued him. Third, these persons here distinguished are we who do not lose heart in verse number 1. We do not lose heart, Paul writes. Paul does not identify himself with those who believe they may lose their salvation through weariness or cowardice. Some like to boast that, well, I can lose my salvation if I want to. Yes, if you're a coward or if you're too weary in the faith, I suppose you could. But not if you are of those who do not lose heart. We are preachers declaring unto you the preservation of God's children and therefore their perseverance. We do not lose heart. Third or fourth, these are distinguished as we who have renounced the hidden things of shame in verse number 2. Paul refers to the conduct of false preachers who hide the truth for one reason. They are ashamed of Christ. And any time a man refuses to preach the truth, it is because he is ashamed of the truth. He's ashamed of Christ. And Paul says, we are not walking in craftiness. That is, we are not shrewd and we are not unscrupulous in doing anything to accomplish our ends. We are not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. We are not falsifying the Word of God by adultering it with the doctrines of men, as in saying, God has done His part, now you must do your part. No, we do not adulterate our gospel. Our salvation is of the Lord, completely, throughout, from beginning to end, period. Paul says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, saying this, we let the truth we preach be our only recommendation. We do not recommend ourselves. The truth we preach would be the only recommendation we have. And if we do not preach the truth, we have no recommendation. We have renounced the hidden things of shame. Fifth, the persons here distinguished are we who preach. Verse number 5. Paul says, we are preachers. But Paul does not include every so-called preacher. Rather, Paul refers only to those preachers God has specifically sent with the gospel He ordained for the salvation of His people. How shall they call upon Him of whom they have never heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they have a preacher except one be sent? God must send a preacher, and not every preacher has been sent of God. God says in Jeremiah 23, verse 21, I did not send these prophets or these preachers. I did not send them. We say to you that false preachers will not preach the gospel because they cannot preach the gospel because God did not ordain them. And we say to you furthermore that God never used a false gospel for the salvation of anyone. God uses that one gospel that He ordained and gave to specific men. And Paul says, we preach because that's what we were sent to do. He says, we make the preaching of Christ preeminent in our lives. And our gospel is the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Now we have identified the persons here distinguished. Now we consider the activity here required. Paul says, we preach. What is it to preach? To preach is to be a herald. It is to publish and proclaim openly something which has been done, always with the suggestion of formality, gravity, and an authority which must be listened to and obeyed. When the king sent a herald, you better open your ears. The herald declares something that has been done and calls upon you to act in accordance thereto. This is a grave matter. We treat it with the utmost gravity. We preach to you. We do not opine or suggest. Neither do we dabble in politics, civil activism, or societal morality. Yes, there are a whole lot of things wrong in society. It's not my problem. I'm a preacher. We preach. We do not dabble in those things. Rather, we declare the truth. We exhort you to believe it. And we warn you of this. God will judge you on the basis of what you react to the gospel we preach. Hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep His commandment. This is the whole duty of man. The preacher said that. We herald this truth. We have something to declare to you. Something has been done. Treat this matter with all gravity and seriousness. We preach. Now third, the theme here, preeminent. Paul says, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ is His title. Jesus is His name. Lord is His position. We preach this one in His title, in His name, and in His position. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord. First, we preach Him as Christ. Christ is Jehovah's anointed. That name Christ in our New Testament corresponds to the word Messiah in the Old Testament. And the word means anointed. It denotes the something consecrated to God in a ritual involving the application of oil. The oil was taken and poured over the subject, and then when that happened, this one was anointed. Anointed with oil. This anointing was a visible sign of appointment to a mediatorial office between God and men. This man was anointed to let you know that he stood between you and God. He was a prophet. The prophet was sent from God with the word to the people and anointed. And then there was the priest. The priest was our representative to God, standing between us and God. The prophet brings God's word to us. The priest takes our sacrifices to God. And then there's the king. He sits on the throne representing God, protecting the people and ruling over them. And each of these three officers were anointed with oil when they were brought into their office. They were sacred to God and they were sacrosanct to man because God said, "Do not touch them and do them no harm." These are mine, God says. I have anointed them. When that man was anointed, be he prophet, priest, or king, the Scripture says that from that day, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon him. He represented God. And he represented us to God and ruled in the place of God on the throne of Israel. Now, all these things are true of Christ, except more preeminently. Jehovah calls him my anointed. He says, I anointed my prophets and my priests and my kings in old time with oil. I anoint my anointed more preeminently. I anoint him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And then he says to him, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Our preeminent prophet, and now our only prophet, is Christ. Our preeminent priest, and now our only mediatorial priest, is Christ. Our preeminent king, and now our only mediatorial king, is Christ, anointed by God more than his companions. Let's look at these three offices, prophet, priest, and king. Christ is the anointed prophet who is to come into the world. Now that prophet in the old time came from God, sent from God, prefaced his sayings with, thus says Jehovah. Christ comes into the world, sent from God with the word to the people. God in former times spoke to the fathers by the prophets. He has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Christ not only is the one sent from God with the word, Christ is the word. He has come into the world to declare God's word unto us. He has come into the world as a declared word unto us, and therefore we do not preach ourselves as mediatorial prophets. Well, you say, well, no one would do that. What do you think Muhammad did? What do you think Joseph Smith did? Said, I have been sent from God and anointed to be a prophet. He preached himself. We make not that mistake. Neither do we devise any system of doctrine contrary to Christ our prophet, as did men whose doctrines are named for them, such as Pharisaism, Pelagianism, Arminianism, Sandemanianism, Wesleyanism, Campbellism, Russellism. Now, Scott, some of these folks may come to you afterward and say, I think I've heard of those terms, but I don't know what they mean. To which you can just simply reply, there's a good reason. We do not preach ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus the Lord. Christ is the anointed high priest over the house of God. He has made, though, one sacrifice for sin forever, and the sacrifices are done. He has become the sacrifice. Our priest has done that which no other priest before him could do. He made that priesthood of former time obsolete, gone away, and God just simply reached down and tore the veil of the temple from top to bottom as if to say, "Don't come here again. My Son has done it. Go to my Son for your priest." And therefore, we do not preach ourselves as mediatorial priests, as do the clergy of Judaism and Romanism. Christ is the anointed King of the saints, as is called in Revelation 15, verse 3. He now sits on the throne, not in an earthly Jerusalem, and never will sit in earthly Jerusalem. His throne is in heaven above. He sits on the throne beside His Father, ruling over heaven and earth, saying, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth." We therefore do not preach ourselves as mediatorial kings or as lords over those entrusted to you, as does the Pontiff of Rome. We preach Christ. And if we have Him for our King, we need no other. Christ as our prophet has said enough. Christ as our priest has sacrificed enough. Christ as our King in the place of God has authority and power enough. And recognizing His preeminence in all these things, we do not preach ourselves. And by the way, if you know Christ as your prophet and your priest and your King, you don't want to hear me anyway. Tell us of Him, our prophet. Tell us of Him, our priest. Tell us of Him, our King, and do not preach yourself. I'll be glad to comply. We preach Him as Jesus, Paul says. Jesus means He is our Savior. As our brother just said a moment ago, this name Jesus is a transliteration of the Hebrew Joshua. It means Jehovah is salvation. And that's His name. His name was given to Him at His birth. For this reason, He will save His people from their sins. Every word is pregnant with meaning. He will do it. And neither is there salvation in any other. He will do it. Not attempt, not try, not make a stab at it. He will do it. He will save, deliver. He'll not condemn. He did not come to condemn. He came to save. He will save people, not angels. He will save His people, God's elect. That's the Jesus we preach to you. We do not preach ourselves in claiming to have the power to absolve you of your sins as do the priests of Rome. We do not preach ourselves in the matter of salvation, and neither do we preach yourselves as though you had some power in your own free will to help God along in this matter of saving you. No. We do not preach that salvation is of yourself in any way, shape, or form. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end and all the way throughout. We preach Him as the Lord, the God of heaven and earth. He is Lord of all. He is called Lord of lords and King of kings and God of gods. We therefore do not deny His deity, nor any divine attribute ascribed to Him, as does virtually everyone in man-made religion. I've had people say to me, "Well, we believe in the deity of Christ." Let me ask you this. Do you believe He has absolute sovereignty over everything? Yeah, everything except salvation. Therefore, your Christ is not God. Any God who is not absolutely sovereign over everything, any God who lacks sovereignty in even the slightest thing on this earth, is not God. This Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the absolute sovereign. He is the Lord. He's the one we preach. We preach Him as Christ Jesus the Lord, or if you will, the God-man. Because as Christ Jesus, we see His humanity. As Lord, we see His deity. We confess to you that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we tell you that you better bow right now and confess that yourself. Because every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We teach to you that there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. We preach Him alone. We preach Him alone. When Brother Scott called and he said, we're going to assign subjects, and I thought, oh no. Don't assign me to preach on the glories of supralapsarianism. How to be successful in life even though you're a Christian. I've seen some of these subjects in places, and I thought, oh no. And then he said, I want you to preach on the preeminence of Christ in preaching. I thought, well, I try to do that every time I get in the pulpit. I'll take that one. That sounds pretty good to me. The preeminence of Christ. He's all we preach. He's all we preach. I've had folks say, well, what do you believe on that subject, this or that, you know? And what does your church believe about the church? Probably not much. What do you believe about eschatology? Not a big subject. What do you believe about this or that or the other? We preach Christ. I get these questionnaires. I get them in the email, I get them in the mail. Tell us what you believe about the Trinity and all the rest of it. And it is so easy to just write back and say, all we do is preach Christ. Now, if you like Christ, you should like our preaching. If not, we'll just let you know, you probably won't care too much for us. But we endeavor to make Christ preeminent in all our preaching. And we preach Him alone. When you get home tonight, or sometime, get your concordance and go to the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Look up the words preach, preached, preaches, and preaching. Just look up the word preach in every form you find it. And then observe what it was in the Acts of the Apostles they preached. Now let me give you just a few samples. Peter declared that Jesus Christ was preached to you. Chapter 3, verse 20. Peter and John preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Chapter 4, verse 2. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Chapter 8, verse 5. Philip preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Chapter 8, verse 12. Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture preached Jesus to him. Chapter 8, verse 35. Paul preached the Christ in the synagogues that He is a Son of God. Chapter 9, verse 20. Paul had boldly preached at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Chapter 9, verse 27. The word which God sent to the children of Israel was preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Chapter 10, verse 36. Men from Cyprus and Cyrene spoke to the Hellenists, preaching the Lord Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 20. Paul declared, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Christ Jesus, it's preached to you the forgiveness of sins. Chapter 13, verse 38. He also declared, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Chapter 17, verse 3. Paul preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Chapter 17, verse 8. Some Jewish exorcists in Ephesus spoke of the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Even they knew what was preached in chapter 19, verse 13. And at the end of this book, we read that Paul was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence. Jesus began that book by saying, ye shall be witnesses to me. And all the way through. All the way through. Not a single person preached Campbellism, Russellism, any other ism you can think of, folks. It was Christ. It was Christ. You want to know why? That in all things, He may have the preeminence. I like that first place. I think you said that's what the word means, first place. First place. But you know what? When He takes first place, there is no other place, is there? He must increase. I must decrease. Christ is all. I am nothing. All of us together are nothing. Now, my friend, this is the Jesus I preach to you. We've been sent to you with this message. We cry out to you as a herald. A solemn message has been given unto us. And we call upon you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And neither is there salvation in any other. When we stand in our pulpits, let it be with this one message. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. O God, our Father, be pleased, we pray, to bless your word, exalt your Son, and give us grace to decrease, we pray, that He may have all the glory. And in His name we pray. Amen. Pastor.